Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. And then it was the Republicans making their case all week long. In his acceptance speech at the GOP National Convention last night, John McCain had these words for the Capitol his own party has dominated for years.
Let me just offer an advance warning to the old big spending, do nothing, me first, country second crowd. Change is coming.
Sarah Palin rocked the House and went off script, saying she admired all the hockey mom signs in the St. Paul Arena.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
And Barack Obama on the campaign trail said the jabs thrown at him this week hasn't hurt his feelings or his jump shot.
You can't expect that I'd be surprised about attacks from Republicans. And by the way, I mean, I've been called worse on the basketball court.
This hour, On Point, our weekly news roundtable goes behind the headlines. You can join the conversation. What did you make of John McCain's speech last night? How do you see the choice now on the road to November 4th, just 60 days away? It has been a wild 2 weeks of convention politics, and we're still on the trail. Coming to you today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio and the American Public Media Broadcast Center in downtown St. Paul. Thanks to our Minnesota hosts. We have with us for our look at the week's news and politics, first from Dallas, Bill McKenzie, editorial page writer for the Dallas Morning News. Bill, welcome back. Great to have you.
Hello, Tom.
With us from Washington, Eleanor Clift, contributing editor at Newsweek magazine. Eleanor, thanks and welcome back to you as well.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be with you.
And with us this time from our studio in Boston is On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly magazine. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Tom, Bill, and Eleanor.
Long time,
hi.
No see. Let's listen right off the bat to the finale, the conclusion of John McCain's speech. He's in the hall. He's exhorting them to fight with me for what he's proposing.
Fight with me. Fight with me. Fight for what's right for our country. Fight for the ideals and character of a free people. Fight for our children's future. Fight for justice and opportunity for all. Stand up to defend our country from its enemies. Stand up for each other, for beautiful, blessed, bountiful America. Stand up, stand up, stand up and fight. Nothing is inevitable here. We're Americans, and we never give up. We never quit. We never hide from history. We make history. God bless America.
Oh, and there it was, the end of 2 weeks of convention. The Republicans in full lather there with John McCain at the end of his speech last night. Bill McKenzie at the Dallas Morning News, what do you think of John McCain at the end of this week? What do you think of the Republicans' prospects for the 60 days ahead for the November 4th election?
Well, there are shades of Teddy Roosevelt in that speech last night, including that clip we just heard. I think John
McCain's taking San Juan Hill right there, fight with
absolutely.
Me. Let's go. The old military family, son and grandson of admirals. It's the rally the troops moment.
Get out of the way. He saved his campaign this week and put this race in play and his ticket in play. And I think this is so different from what I was thinking back when 1992, when the Clinton-Gore campaign had just a tremendous convention, and then the Bush Quayle 92 convention just imploded down in Houston, and the race really was off kilter from that time on. Well, not this time. I think that McCain put his ticket clearly in play, both with the speech last night. I mean, he's not eloquent. He's not just the most inspiring speaker. What's inspiring about him is his life story and the battles he has chosen over time. He also saved his campaign by the pick he made with Sarah Palin, who arguably gave the most important convention speech since George H.W. Bush went into New Orleans in 1988 and knocked it out of the park at a time where many people were wondering, is this guy capable of being more than a vice president? So he helped himself on that. by picking somebody like Sarah Palin, who is, in Texas terms, she's kind of a young Republican Ann Richards. She is witty. She is barbed, sometimes too barbed, but she's a performer who wows her delegates. He put his ticket in play.
So far north, one Republican pollster said to me this week, she's so far north, she's south. Life story plus Sarah Palin puts this ticket in the game, as if they weren't there already. But at the same time, John McCain pointed himself last night to some of the problem here. His own party has some history to deal with here, and it's not pretty. Let's listen to John McCain.
We were elected to change Washington, and we let Washington change us. We lost. We lost the trust of the American people when some Republicans gave in to the temptations of corruption. We lost their trust when, rather than reform government, both parties made it bigger.
Eleanor Clift, there it is. The mea culpa, he said Republicans went to Washington and put power over principle. A lot of excitement this week in St. Paul, but still that history, those years, the George Bush administration and more, that has been Republican time in Washington, that John McCain is now running both with and against. How does it look to you, Eleanor?
Right. This could have been a third party convention. There were no signs that said Republican anywhere. The word Republican was barely uttered except in condemnation. And I think, John McCain has relaunched his campaign as one of change. It's a little ludicrous, but it worked at least for last night. And I think he would like to run on his personal story, on the personal story of his running mate, and to cast them both as the outsiders who will take Washington and turn it upside down. But the voters care really about the economy, and they care about Iraq.
I don't think
either candidate yet has presented an economic vision that is compelling, and that is the opening that has been left here for the Obama-Biden campaign to get the debate away from personal stories that are compelling and personas that are compelling, and to draw the contrasts about the issues, because Sarah Palin is more than a reformer. She's also a pretty doctrinaire, hard right conservative, and her appealing persona kind of covers that up, and so she's not being presented as a pick to satisfy the right wing of the party, and I think that the Democrats have to point that out a little better than was done at the convention.
John McCain last night wrapping himself in the flag of change. Jack Beatty, I want to ask you about that. Here he is last night in his acceptance speech saying he's a reformer who does things differently than the rest of Washington.
I've been called a maverick. Someone who marches to the beat of his own drum. Sometimes it's meant as a compliment. Sometimes it's not. What it really means is I understand who I work for. I don't work for a party. I don't work for a special interest. I don't work for myself. I work for you.
Jack Beatty, there's the maverick message from John McCain. He ran very hard on it on 2000. He came very much closer to the right of the Republican Party in recent months, and very close this week with his pick of Sarah Palin, beloved by that wing of the party. What do you make of the change is coming message from John McCain, Jack?
Well, he's a maverick, but a maverick who, as the Democrats have pointed out, voted with President Bush 90% of the time. He's a maverick, but essentially, both in domestic affairs, certainly in tax policy, and in foreign affairs, he wants to carry on with the policies of the Bush administration. That can't be blinked, and no magic of words can take that away. But to me, the central contradiction of this candidacy is in the vice presidential pick. You know, McCain says, country first. I put my country first. But when you have commentators as like David Frum and Charles Krauthammer saying Sarah Palin isn't qualified to be vice president, when you have
David Frum, former George Bush speechwriter, yeah.
Right, when you have Mike Murphy off mic, former McCain chief advisor, saying her pick was cynical. That McCain wasn't putting country first. He was putting the base of the Republican Party first. It calls into question, it seems to me, fundamentally, this claim, I put country first.
Bill McKenzie, does it matter if a former speechwriter, David Frum, is not sure she's qualified when Rush Limbaugh is absolutely over the moon for Sarah Palin? You know, who represents, how many troops does David Frum have? How many voters Rush Limbaugh?
Well, I think if we're going to go now beyond the conventions to talk to independents and swing voters, yes, her lack of experience in politics will matter. In the same way, I would argue that Barack Obama's lack of experience in politics is going to matter. Will it be definitive in some people's minds? Yes, and others it won't. So now the question is, what does she do with her?
16.
What does she do by going forward? And I would argue, you know, what I will be looking for is to see if she's able to move beyond kind of her religious conservatism and perhaps follow the lead of somebody like Rick Warren, you know, the Saddleback Church pastor, who's been emphasizing issues like Darfur, AIDS in Africa, hunger, poverty. Will she be able to maintain her voice about opposing abortion and broaden her message to talk about some of these other issues dealing with justice and poverty? If she does, I would argue that she can help this ticket win some voters in swing states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, where you'll have a tradition of Catholic voters who are strongly opposed to abortion but are concerned about justice and poverty.
Big night for John McCain last night. Big night, standing there in the convention hall. Lots of enthusiasm at the end of this week. How long it goes, how far it goes, how many votes it brings, we will see. Raising McCain was the music they began to go out with. Bill McKenzie, Eleanor Cliff, Jack Beattie, please stand by. Listeners, please join us. Did you see, listen to John McCain last night? What did you think? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're looking at a week in the news, a Republican week, and what it means for the country and the presidential ambitions of John McCain and his Democratic rival, Barack Obama. Last night at the Excel Center in St. Paul, John McCain compared some of his policies, as he described them, to those, as he described them, of Barack Obama's.
I will keep taxes low and cut them where I can. My opponent will raise them. I will open new markets to our goods and services. My opponent will close them. I will cut government spending. He will increase it. My tax cuts will create jobs. His tax increases will eliminate them.
More jobs would be good. News out today, unemployment up to 6.1, economy not doing so well. Eleanor Clift, what do you make of that series of claims by John McCain last night? What he'll do, what Barack Obama's policies would do.
Well, it was a night for rhetoric, and so maybe it seems a little churlish to just pick apart the fact that he's not presenting the positions truthfully. On taxes, for example, Barack Obama would cut taxes for 90%, 95% of Americans. He would let the tax cuts on the highest earners lapse, which they're supposed to do. And even if there is a President John McCain with a Democratic Congress, those tax cuts would lapse. I actually don't think that John McCain has a tax package that really appeals to the broad middle class. His tax package is oriented towards the higher income earners. But he delivered that with such a kind of a dreary recitation. I think that was probably the worst part of the speech. But, you know, overall, I thought his presentation was a welcome relief from all the partisan rhetoric. He's clearly aiming at the independents. When he tells his personal story, it's very moving. And there was a plainness about it, a plainness about his speaking style, about the stage. I think everything that really plays into his message that this is somebody that you can trust.
Bill McKenzie, there's some of the point-by-point from John McCain. Look for a moment at the theater of this week. Very, very tough attacks on Barack Obama, several nights running. And then John McCain, more conciliatory last night, describing himself as someone who will work with anybody to get the job done. How do you think Americans will come away seeing this week? What face of the Republican Party? Is it clear what the Republican Party stands for at the end of this week, Bill?
Well, first, I want to say I thought Obama was really marvelous yesterday when he had that line about I've heard a lot worse on the basketball court. Yeah, I mean, this guy is very, very good, and he was really good on that. And I love that line. Of course they're going to take shots at me at a Republican convention. So, that happens. That happens at conventions, that parties are going to take shots. I will say this. I thought Mitt Romney did himself no good with that address he gave. I mean, he's from your backyard there in Massachusetts, so I'll defer to you on him. But from where I sit, he just looks very opportunistic, and he's now painting himself as this real far-right guy, and it just rings very hollow. And I thought Giuliani was overboard, and probably only Huckabee probably gave the most, a smiling face address. So they could have done better on all of those fronts. I tend to think, and I also want to say up front, Sarah Palin's politics are not always my own politics. I don't agree with her on a lot of some of these issues. However, I think as somebody who comes out of left field, if you will, or right field, and now she is on this stage, I think the kind of speech she gave was effective to show people that, you know, she can't be pushed around. And because nobody knows who this person is, and she's revealing herself there. So I think that helped. However, going forward, I would agree with Eleanor. I think both campaigns are really going to have to do a better job explaining how their economic policies, from their perspective, will benefit people. I think McCain particularly has to do a better job on that. As boring as it may be, capital gains taxes, you don't win or lose elections on capital gains taxes, but what he has to explain is why I want to keep these taxes low is I want to grow jobs. I want to help give birth to the next Silicon Valley. I'm not here just to make rich people richer. I'm here to keep our investment capital low because we want to compete with India and China who do have low investment capital. Those are the types of things he has to explain. And last, I will say, I would love to see him pull a Ross Perot and really make a crusade out of the deficit. You have this new film out by Pete Peterson and Warren Buffett showing we're up to $53 trillion in debt because of unfunded obligations of Medicare and Social Security. Will somebody please talk about that? That is a big deal.
Yeah. Let's hear from our listeners on this. And Jack, I'll come to you. But first to Jan in Davenport, Iowa. Jan, what did you think?
Well, hello. It's great to talk to you. It was coming into both of the national conventions, I didn't think there was anything very exciting about either candidate. It just kind of seemed same old, same old. But after watching both of them, there was something that rose in my heart that was inspirational, and I realized that was patriotism. And I just felt that the Republicans did a much better job of saying, we love this country, and no matter what, we're going to defend this country, culminating in McCain's speech last night, saying, I love this country, and no matter who you are or where you're from, my first love and my first dedication is to this country and its people. And I just didn't feel like the Democrats got that point across. For the first time last night, I was inspired, and so that was great.
Jan, let us pick it up. Jack Beatty, how about it? If John McCain has a challenge to both satisfy the right wing of his party, the Sarah Palin enthusiast, and reach out to independents, what about what Jan's pointing to here? Very, very positive, patriotic, we're winners, we're great theme there last night. Americans respond to that, and it's a harder cry for Democrats to raise when they're having to be so critical of all the problems with the country, Jack.
Yeah, of course, the Democrats are critical of the problems with the Bush administration and with McCain's policies, and they're pointing out that the country does have problems that are just objectively there. You mentioned the unemployment rate. So if it's unpatriotic to cite the realities, then we're in a bad situation. I USA, 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 hearing that again and again, I was reminded, and forgive me for being cynical, I was reminded of Dr. Johnson. Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. I mean, everybody loves the country. And I don't see how patriotism guarantees anything in government. I mean, that's a constant. It's like candidates talking about their religion. It's so clear that they're pandering.
But let's consider, people also want to feel uplifted in that moment. And patriotism, indeed, may be the last refuge of scoundrels. But at conventions, it may get some people swung on board. Let's go to Kansas City, Missouri. And Josh, what'd you think?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. As an independent, I've been kind of wish-washy on which way I was going to vote, but after last night, I think I'm pretty locked on McCain. I thought he did a really good job of spreading a white paintbrush, and he introduced a lot of topics. He didn't really get into depth what his plans were on those to change things, but he pretty much touched everything that I think is going on in America today, and I think in the days to come, you know, we'll probably hear more of what his actual plans and, you know, ideas are getting them changed. I also thought it was really great for him to own up, you know, basically take some personal responsibility and take a hard look at the Republican Party and some of the wrong things going on there. That was really risky, but I thought, you know, I think it's a cool thing that paid off for him to really lead towards change.
Josh, let me ask you. You say you're an independent. Do you think, I mean, John McCain does have some maverick record and also some record where he hewed very close to President Bush, 90%, as we're often reminded lately, with Sarah Palin at his side representing the sort of right wing of the Republican Party and a lot of entrenched Republican interests, are you confident that he, as the president, kind of alone in the Oval Office, could bring the change he promised last night?
Well, I think so. I mean, she fought, from what I've read and heard about her in Alaska, she's really taken on her own party and taken on big corporations and really fought hard to, I think, make Alaska a better state. I think she'll do the same thing to represent the whole country. I know McCain voted a lot with Bush, you know, that's an obvious state of fact, but the bottom line is he actually voted. And, you know, Obama, I don't think, looking at his record, voting president really doesn't signify to me that you're trying to change anything. I think you have to take a stand. Sometimes you're probably have to choose the lesser of two evils. Like when he, you know, with the veto power and power to kind of push and make the, you know, democratically ran Senate and Congress stand up, do right things for America, I think that, you know, he'll probably be more aggressive towards changing things.
Josh in Kansas City, we're glad to have your call. Eleanor Clift, now we have two change flags raised above two campaigns. Which rings more credible to you? Obviously a lot of hunger for change in this country, but when you just look at it structurally, who do you see as better positioned to actually bring it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Republicans, this is a triumph in cross-dressing, really, because they have put on a suit of clothes that the party is unaccustomed to wearing. But John McCain is the only candidate who can credibly portray himself. A change agent is a little over the top for me, but he is well known in Washington for his sort of explosive reactions to all kinds of things. And he is equal opportunity. His anger is genuine. I think he really is incensed by the way Washington has been run. And he's angry at his own party for blowing the opportunity they had when they control the White House and both houses of Congress. Having said that, though, you watch the convention. Those delegates would have cheered anything. They cheer he's a maverick. They cheered him when he said he was going to cut back on foreign aid, which I found pretty scary, actually. And then the drill, baby, drill chance for a country that, you know, should be reorienting itself towards using less energy instead of, you know, thinking that those problems can be solved with drilling. But again, it was a partisan event, and I thought that McCain actually did do himself a lot of good. I think it's going to be harder for the Democrats to portray him as John McSame. He did separate himself from George W. Bush, both stylistically and to some extent in terms of his, you know, approach to policy and to governing.
Bill McKenzie, how about it? You did have the feeling, I mean, there was genuine excitement in that hall. At the same time, there were moments when you felt that some of that excitement and applause was from amazement that the Republicans had, as Newt Gingrich said, chosen maybe the only candidate with a chance of winning this year. That after the last 8 years and after the polls have gone so far south on President Bush and Republicans have lost membership and affiliation and all the rest, they're looking at the maverick up there and thinking, good Lord, he may pull our chestnuts out here. You know, how did you interpret the glee in the hall, Bill?
Well, Republicans haven't had a lot to cheer about over the last few years, so I think there was an element of that going on last night. I think Palin was part of the reason lots of people were cheering last night. They felt good about that, and they wanted to, you know, they're expressing themselves. On the other hand, we do, you know, McCain did win the primary, so enough Republicans came to vote for him. And I also think we have to remember the Republican Party just isn't the base. There are a lot of other people out there who aren't as active as the base may be, but they're people who will respond to McCain. You know, as to what change, you know, who's the change agent, I think we also have to raise the question, what kind of change are we talking about, or what kind of change do we want? And that kind of leads into another kind of discussion about who would perhaps get us to better places.
Let's go to Stamford, Connecticut. And Kathy, you're on the air.
I felt like Alice in Wonderland watching that speech last night. The yin and the yang were just incredible. He stands there and says, I will end the bipartisan attacks, and then turns around and questions Obama's patriotism and rattles off the typical Republican litany of lies about Obama's record. Then he says, okay, mea culpa for all the bad things that have happened, even though he was there in the middle of it for 25 years, voted with Bush 90% of the time. And somehow he thinks that when he says, oh, we're sorry, mea culpa, that Americans are going to go, okay, we'll give him a buy on everything. I hope that the people who, and I think that so many Americans bought the line. They bought it 8 years ago. They bought it 4 years ago. Bush is a great guy to have a beer with. He'll do the right thing for us. Those are the people right now who are hurting the worst. I'm not hurting. I'm upper income. But people who are losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their dignity, losing their ability to put their kids through school, hopefully they're not going to buy the personal story, what a good guy, he'd be a good guy to have a beer with, especially when you wake up this morning and look at this morning's headlines that say 6.1% unemployment rising again. I mean, if Americans this time drink that Kool-Aid and listen to the rhetoric rather than looking at the record, they deserve what they get, but people will be on the streets, and we can't let that happen. And the best thing I've seen come out of McCain's speech is just a flood of emails and postings this morning from people saying, we have to work harder for Obama. I'm sending more money to Obama this morning. We can't let this happen. We have to take back our country.
Kathy in Stamford, thanks very much for calling. Jack Beatty, how about it? The good cop, bad cop routine this week between different speeches. Of course, John McCain relatively light on the bad cop stuff, but plenty of it before him. Is that just politics? How does that mesh or not mesh with John McCain's repeated call last night for bipartisanship? I'm going to stretch out my hand, he said, to anybody who will work with me.
Yeah, it is politics. Somebody, I think it was paraphrasing Molly Ivan, said of Giuliani's speech, it sounded better in the original German. that's what you expect at conventions. I was looking at the chart in the New York Times. It appears that the Democrats did more abusing of Republicans by name than vice versa. But you know, beyond all this, and Kathy brings us back to the economy. A new CBS poll has 44% saying that McCain understands people's needs and problems. 60% feel that Obama does. Well, that's where the election is going to be, right there. And I didn't see last night that McCain helped himself on that front. Yes, he mentioned ordinary people. He said, I identified with them. He said, we will fight for them. But in terms of specifics, what he's actually going to do for them, I didn't hear that. So, and I didn't hear much about the economy in general this week in this convention. And I think that may really hurt the Republicans, given this kind of poll finding.
Well, there we are. A lot. Of course, Eleanor Cindy McCain on stage before John McCain last night, and the video there showing her with, you know, holding babies around the world in situations of distress and reaching out and being compassionate. Does that image carry the kind of message that Jack's looking for there?
Well, I think so much of a presidential vote is about making an emotional connection with the candidate. And part of the Republican theme is to portray Barack Obama as an elite who is looking down on ordinary people. And the line that Sarah Palin had, that he talks about working people one way when they're listening and another way when they're not, and bringing up the remark about the bitter clingers, I guess, is the shorthand for expressing it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Wild weather this week, more to come, and Sarah Palin stormed the headlines and comedy corners. Hurricane Gustav took a pass. Now Ike is headed in, and Hannah moves on the Carolinas.
Anytime a hurricane comes to Charleston after Hugo, everybody panics, so we're not sure what's going to happen. but hopefully I'm out of here by the time it does happen.
Alaska Governor Sarah Palin sparked a flood of impersonators. Here a YouTube Sarah tells her husband Todd that John McCain has just chosen her.
Put the four kids, no, five, we just had one a few months ago, in the toboggan, grab my Rotary Awards and my tiara. It's behind the box of pot in the closet. We are going to the Washington, D.C.
Americans having fun with Sarah Palin, and the late-night hosts were thrilled with the gift of McCain's VP pick. Here's David Letterman.
She looks like the hygienist who makes you feel guilty about not flossing.
Awesome.
She looks like the relieved mom in a Tide commercial.
Bada boom. We're talking about a Republican week and what it means for the country and the presidential ambitions of John McCain and his Democratic rival Barack Obama. Bill McKenzie, editorial columnist for the Dallas Morning News, is with us from Dallas. Eleanor Clift is with us from Washington, contributing editor at Newsweek magazine. Our own Jack Beatty is here, and you can join us. Of course, there was more than McCain this week. Rudy Giuliani was whipping up the crowd on Wednesday night at the XL Center in St. Paul. He said John McCain would lead America to energy independence.
He'll do it with an all-of-the-above approach, including nuclear power, and yes, offshore oil drilling. Drill, baby, drill. This is the kind of change. Hey, you guys were ready to break out. Woo!
That whole big hall chanting, drill, baby, drill. It was something to see and hear. Oh, my gosh. In a line that got huge applause at the RNC, Sarah Palin pushed back against the press.
Here's a little news flash for those reporters and commentators. I'm not going to Washington to seek their good opinion. I'm going to Washington to serve the people of this great country.
And boy, did they love that. Delegates in the hall pointing to the press section that night, you, with very strong disapproval. Let's go to Anna in Nashville, Tennessee. Anna, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Although I'm a Democrat, I have respected John McCain for years. I did believe that he was a maverick. I did believe that he stood up for what he believed. And I would not have been unhappy had that John McCain won the nomination. However, I was so sad to see him become that horrible Republican word, a flip-flopper, on so many of the issues he supported for years. He's backed off on the immigration issue. He's backed off on his economic policies. And the final demonstration of this for me was that instead of choosing a candidate of his own choice, such as Tom Ridge or Joe Lieberman, who we know he was looking at very closely, mm-hmm. he caved to the Republican Party and chose Sarah Palin, a far-right conservative. And I, as a woman, find that offensive because I kind of feel like it was a sop to the Hillary voters, even though Sarah Palin stands for everything that Hillary was against. I'll go off there.
Thank you. Maybe to the Hillary voters, but maybe much more importantly, to the right, the evangelical right of the Republican Party. Eleanor Clift, I hear you there.
Well, I think Karl Rove said publicly this last week that the choice of Sarah Palin was a political choice, not a governing choice. And I think she's there not so much to appeal to the Hillary voters, but to appeal to what I call the Annie Oakley voters in a few swing states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, working class women, culturally conservative. That's the same band of voters that Joe Biden is on the ticket on the Democratic side to appeal to. And he'll be trying to woo them with an economic appeal, and she'll be doing it on cultural grounds. So, I do think it's actually Mike Murphy, who worked for John McCain in 2000, called the choice of Palin cynical. But it might work. It's a big gamble. She's still unknown. There's, more revelations coming out about whether she really is truly a reformer, about her personal life. It's been somewhat of a distraction. But it's a gamble that might work.
Bill McKenzie, how do you interpret that? John McCain said last night in the White House he would work not for his party, not for special interests, but for the whole country, and that he would reach out, he'd be bipartisan, he'd work with anyone. But of course, there'd be a lot of pressure from his own party and a very influential wing of it. We read again and again this week, more or less demanded that Sarah Palin be on this ticket as opposed to Tom Ridge or Joe Lieberman, and got their way. What does that say about John McCain's capacity to resist that same wing of his party if and when he might be in the Oval Office?
Well, let me flip that around. If you're John McCain, would you want to go to your convention and have your vice presidential nominee stuff back down your throat? And that's what was going to happen with Joe Lieberman or Tom Ridge. I happen to like both those guys. I'm not arguing against them. In fact, before he picked them, I was hoping he'd go with Lieberman. But the fact is he was going to have it stuffed down his throat. And you.
What do you mean by that to Bill?
Because there was going to be a floor fight against either of those people. And so if he picks them, he leaves St. Paul with his party divided and basically handing the election to Barack Obama. So I don't think it's necessarily him backing down in a cowardly way. It was probably a smart move on his part. And so he picks somebody who actually has galvanized his party. Now, the question is, what will he do if he's elected president? The fact is he's going to have a Democratic Congress. You know, I don't think we're going to have a split Congress. I think we certainly aren't going to have a Republican Congress. So he's going to have to – he will pick issues. And actually, I would argue this would be great for McCain to do this because he can say, look, I'm going to have to work with this other party on immigration. He also could be there, and I would argue this would be important, to check Pelosi and Reid if there is a large – if the deficit doesn't come – isn't addressed adequately. He can be there as a veto. I would talk about that if I were McCain out on the stump. To this issue that McCain I hear this a lot from people say, gosh, I wish he was the guy in 2000. And I find that a little paternalistic or kind of a pat on the guy's head. Well, you know what he talked about last night was the McCain of 2000. He talked about how he took on tobacco. He talked about how he took on the plaintiff's lawyers. He talked about reform. And now people are getting nervous saying, well, how can he do that? Well, you know, that's what people wanted to hear. He said it.
Jack Beatty, how about it? Maybe this is the McCain of 2000 in 08.
Maybe so. And now he's shored himself up with the right, with Sarah. But it is a question. I mean, zigzags, all politicians have to do that. We've seen that with Obama. He's shifted on a lot of positions. But I think it's fair to say that no one has shifted as dramatically over the last few years as Senator McCain on the big issue, certainly not on Iraq, but on domestic issues. And that does leave you do ideas matter to him? Does a vision of a party, of its tradition, matter to him? Or does he make it up as he goes along? And does he make it up with an eye always first on political expediency? You can make that case. That's how he got right with the Republicans during the primaries, by ditching immigration, ditching his stand on taxes, now offshore oil. And now he's got right with them again by going with Sarah. But again, these are political accommodations. This is the politics of expediency of the moment rather than of, it seems to me, principle or ideas.
Eleanor?
This is Eleanor. He's been gifted at going both ways, appeasing the right and then moving back to the center. And last night, speaking directly to Obama, saying how much he respected him and his supporters and that he disavows the partisan bickering of the past. At the same time, what we've seen of his campaign over the last several weeks is a strategy aimed directly at character assassination. I mean, he's basically is subtly questioning Barack Obama's, patriotism. And I suspect that line of attack is going to increase over the next couple of months. And that's at odds with what he says. But he has managed to have it both ways. And I think a lot of people who liked him in 2000 think, well, if he wins the White House, maybe that's the McCain who will be president. And so I think it's artful strategy, and it may be who he is. He may be genuinely conflicted.
Well, McKenzie, a lot of Americans may make it up as they go along. What do you expect would be John McCain's policy compass?
Well, I agree with Jack.
If he gets the White House.
I think Jack is absolutely right. He's going to have to present a better narrative and weave his themes together better, no question about it. I don't know if he has that skill. He may not. But somebody in his camp is going to have to help him do that and provide the vision in a better way than he has so far. However, you know, we're talking about, well, McCain is having to deal with his right, and he's also kind of not been that guy. Well, you know, Barack Obama can't win the presidency just by trying to appeal to the liberal base of the Democratic Party. He's also going to have to move, and had been doing some in the summer, to try to occupy the center ground. So, you know, if we're going to ding McCain for trying to kind of nuance his message, then we're going to have to ding Obama for nuancing his message. And I would argue they're both going to have to be doing some of that. To what McCain has flip-flopped on, yes, he's changed on the taxes. But on immigration, if you look what
that
he's
saying
is—
he opposed extending Bush's tax cuts, and now he does not oppose that.
Well, I think he opposed the tax cuts originally.
The tax cuts themselves, issue. That's right. Excuse
right,
me,
right. Yeah. And now he is saying on immigration, look, you know, we need to secure the border first, and then we need to do the rest of this. And that is not— there is a nuance there. It's hard to explain. I've been talking to a lot of Latino evangelicals about this. It's hard to explain that nuance, but there is a nuance there. He's not saying build a wall and see ya. He's saying build a wall, secure the border, put agents down there, and then let's get back, make sure it's secure, and we go forward in a two-piece thing. And in some way, it isn't my own view. I would like to see us just— I would like to have seen us do it 2 years ago. We didn't, but he's not backing off comprehensive reform.
I want to talk a little bit about Iraq. Here was John McCain last night with words of praise for American troops and their commander. The commander saying that the surge marked a turning point for the war.
Thanks to the leadership of a brilliant General David Petraeus and the brave men and women he has the honor to command. That strategy succeeded, and it rescued for us from a defeat that would have demoralized our military, risked a wider war, and threatened the security of all Americans.
John McCain talking last night about the Iraq War and the surge, not the Commander-in-Chief, George W. Bush, but the uniform commander, David Petraeus, he references there. And then yesterday, Barack Obama sat down with Fox News' Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly tried to get Obama to admit that his position on the surge had been wrong, but Obama said the surge was problematic from the beginning.
The president wanted to double down and continue on an open-ended policy that did not create the kinds of pressure on the Iraqis to take responsibility and reconcile. Well, look, Bill, what I've said is, I've already said it succeeded beyond
right.
our wildest dreams.
So why
which
can't
is
you
great.
Just say I was right in the beginning and I was wrong about the surge?
Because there is an underlying problem with what we've done. We have reduced the violence.
Yeah.
But the Iraqis still haven't taken responsibility.
Jack Beatty, what are you hearing in these two candidates on Iraq, the surge, the future there? Very different roads. John McCain said once, you know, 100 years if necessary, if the violence against U.S. troops ends, or not so different.
Well, I'm not really sure where McCain is now. I mean, it sounds like Obama, Bush, and the Iraqi government are on the same side, basically get out within the next 2 years. And when Obama was over there and the Iraqi president said as much to him, it seemed like, well, game over, but because McCain wasn't saying that. So I don't know where McCain is really now on this. And McCain wants to talk about the surge as if it's a military, it's a military tactic for its own sake. As Obama says, and as Bush said, the point of the surge was to give the Iraqis the space to compromise, to reach the agreement on elections and the oil law and other things. They haven't done it. Now, so they haven't taken advantage of the space that's been giving them, that the surge afforded them. And beyond that, the surge itself, achieved as it was with an alliance with the Sunni Awakening, that's problematic too, because now we see that the Shiite government wants to, you know, break down these Awakening militias, and there's a conflict shaping up there. So McCain wants to talk about military tactics quite apart from the strategy to which they're supposed to be pertinent.
That will be a great subject for the debates, and we look forward to that. Let's get one more call here from Venice, Florida. Brad, you're on the air, Brad.
Thank you. First of all, my wife and I are big fans of Eleanor Cliff, so you know where we're coming from.
All right.
Thank
Eleanor.
You.
Get through all the rhetoric, and if you look at some factual historical data, the middle class and everybody below the upper 1% of Americans have not done well economically for the last decades, 30 years. Our income has averaged about $30,000. If you look at the upper 1%, their income has grown from about $360,000 to well over $1 million for the average of those in 1%. It does not make any sense to reduce corporate taxes for those wealthy corporation executives and to not do something for the lower 99% average of the people. And John McCain, I don't think, is going to ever be allowed to do anything about them because of the basic Republican policies.
Eleanor Clift, you've got a fan in Venice, Florida, and Brad, we hear you. Eleanor, what do you say to that? Not too much last night on the economy, except John McCain saying again, open market, free market policies will work, but Brad's looking out on many years now and says, no, it doesn't, and he's not comforted by McCain's
right.
line.
And we have more bad news today about jobs lost, and every survey that's taken shows that the voters think the economy is the top issue and that that really was not the top issue at the Republican convention. They want to run an election based on biography and do I connect with these people? Could I imagine Sarah Palin in my kitchen? And, you know, when I look at past elections and I see how Democrats have always done better in the polls on every issue except security, but on every other issue they're ahead, and yet the Republicans win, I think that the emotional component of every vote is strong, and the Democrats have to better connect their positions to the emotions of the voters around the economy.
Well, an absolutely fascinating final campaign season set up in these 2 weeks of conventioneering. I want to thank all of our staff at On Point for all the great work in Denver and in St. Paul. And I want to thank our guest today, Bill McKenzie with the Dallas Morning News, joining us from Dallas, Texas. Bill, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks for being here.
Tom, Jack, Eleanor.
Eleanor Clift at Newsweek, thanks for being here.
Thanks. Thanks to everybody.
And Jack Beatty, thanks very much to you. See you next week. We'll go with Barracuda last night at the GOP. That's Sarah Palin's song. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.